Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we have a very special guest. When I was in high school, a movie came out, A Man Called Peter. And it was the story of a wonderful minister of the gospel. And I can remember that I probably cried at the end of that movie more than any movie I had ever seen. And that man was Peter Marshall. Today we have with us Peter Marshall's son. Now for some of you who are a little younger, in fact, I talked to one lady today and she knew you, Peter Marshall. Say hi to the folks to prove you're there.
Good.
He's really here. I'm just introducing him right now and then we'll let him go. But I spoke to one lady and she knew you, Peter, and didn't know your father. And I said, well, you better go home. You better get that movie, A Man Called Peter. And then, of course, everyone knows the wonderful Christie, book Christie, and the series that we had on television written by your mother, Catherine Marshall. But this is Catherine Marshall's biography of her husband, Peter Marshall. Go back to Washington, D.C. in the 1940s, and I'm reading. Mention the name Peter Marshall. Oh, the Scotsman. He loves to play games. He's a great listener. He's a very wise man. He has a nice wife and a cute son. He came up from Atlanta. His friends range from the janitor to the senator, the Air Force pilot to the socialite. He was pastor and minister eventually of the New York Avenue Church, the Church of Presidents, including Lincoln 80 years earlier. Peter Marshall lived more life in 46 years than most people do in 80. He was born in Scotland and immigrated to the United States in his 20s at the urging of a cousin, I think at the leading of God. He knew he wanted to preach God's word, yet when he first arrived in the U.S., he could barely afford to keep himself in room and board. Peter wasn't deterred. He trusted in God's timing. He moved to Alabama and saw the promises of God begin to unfold. Eventually, he was able to attend seminary and earn his theology degree. He was effective and loved in each of the churches he pastored. The last church was the New York Avenue Church. By the end of his career, he had taken on another religious duty. He was the chaplain of the Senate. By the time he died, instead of wandering in late, senators and staffers made sure they were in the Senate room before prayer. Peter was able to present God's word in a manner acceptable to the least religious. He was not a fake. He believed with his heart and was the type of man who could share his belief. It's an amazing thing that we have Peter Marshall, his son, introduced here as the cute little son. And are you still cute, nice looking there, Peter Marshall?
Well, in my late 60s, I don't know if the word cute.
Oh, probably not. But how we happen to have this illustrious guest today is on June 29th. We were here at Prayer Mountain praying with our corporate prayers, and the Spirit of the Lord just came upon us in a wonderful way, and really, we waited to see what would be the next thing He said to us, and He said to us, there is one thing that will save America, and it is not the elections. It is an awakening to God. Whereupon we began to pray about our fall prayer meeting, where about 4,500 prayers come to Branson. We began to look at this. I've known that there needs to be a great awakening. I, in fact, even am on a board that's called Awakening America. But somehow it just became real to my spirit. And as it became so real to my spirit, I started studying about the Great Awakening. And I looked to a book that had been published in 1979, The Light and the Glory, co-authored by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. This book impacted this country. And I started studying about the Great Awakening. I called Julie in our book sales department, and told her I was going to do a read from this book on the air to you about this Great Awakening that we need to have again. And so she called Peter Marshall Ministries. She just went online and got the webpage of PeterMarshallMinistries.com, and who should answer the phone but Peter Marshall? He explained to me that his secretary had had a death in her family, and he was there manning the phone. So I believe it's the will of the Lord that you, Peter Marshall, are with us today. Now,
well, I do too, Billy.
Well, thank you very much. Now, just a little bit about you from your webpage. You are still a Presbyterian minister who for over 40 years has gained national recognition as a preacher on church growth and discipleship, as a teacher and writer on America's Christian heritage. Because he believes that our nation is in moral and spiritual crisis and that the only hope for restoration is revival, his increasingly prophetic ministry focuses on two themes: the urgent necessity of recovering the original American vision, and we're going to be talking about that on our radio program, and the truth about our Christian heritage. How can we restore America if we don't know who we are? Is that right, Peter Marshall?
That's the way it is, Billy. I think revival is desperately, desperately needed, and all the more so now that we seem to be heading into extremely serious financial turmoil.
Yes, the Bible says, and our Lord said, that men, there would be perplexity of nations. And we definitely see that, men not knowing what to do. But I'm believing that there is another move of God. There is another awakening of God. Do you see that, that we can believe and pray for?
I don't see it yet. I think that the Lord definitely wants to bring it. And I think that there are many Americans, both clergy and lay people, who are praying hard for it, but I don't see it having started yet.
No.
There's a great cry here and there about revival, but what that turns out to be is local church revivals, or even sometimes town or city revivals, but we don't have, the revival fires have not broken out, you know, across the nation yet. So we're perhaps in the earliest possible stages of one.
Peter, tell us about when you wrote the book. What did you learn about the Great Awakening and even Columbus and the Puritans, whatever? Tell us about our beginnings in this nation. Does God have a plan for it?
America was really founded, Billy, as a Bible commonwealth. The people that first came here, particularly the Pilgrims and the Puritans, had a vision of implementing the Bible and thereby creating a scripture-based society that would really bring liberty and justice for every soul. The Pilgrims who came here to New England, where I live on Cape Cod, about 30 miles from Plymouth, and where the Pilgrims came to Plymouth here in Massachusetts, all the history books that you and I read and that generations both before and after us have read have, for the last 100 years, Billy, said the Pilgrims came to America for religious freedom or religious liberty, and that really is not true.
Mm.
The truth is, it was much deeper and more profound than that. Their great governor, William Bradford, said they had a great hope and an inward zeal of advancing the cause of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the earth, yet even though they should be but as stepping stones unto others for the performing of so great a work, close quote. So they were missionaries, Billy. They weren't running away from anything. They were coming in response to the call of Jesus on their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the Puritans who followed right after them, immediately after them here in New England, had the same vision, and they broadened and deepened that vision. And so America was initially founded not just by a bunch of religious refugees running away from problems in Europe, but by people coming in response to the call of Christ on their lives. So our beginnings were really that of this shining city on a hill, as President Reagan used to quote Governor John Winthrop, the Puritan governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony here, because Winthrop put this vision down on paper in what he called a model of Christian charity. And at the end of this document, he talked about how the Bay Colony was, the Puritan colony, was to be this city upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. Now, he's quoting Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, of course. But that's the vision for America, that we would be, that we would exert the kind of moral and spiritual leadership, Billy, by the way that we built American society, that we could be not only example to the rest of the world, but we could hold out, as Lincoln put it, a beacon of hope to all men of all time to come. So that's always been our call, that we are to be those who not only put the Bible into practice and create a free and just society, but we have a missionary calling as well, that we're to hold out that hope of men living in freedom to the rest of the world.
Thank you very much. I do believe that it is a calling. I had an experience with the Lord regarding Acts chapter 17. One night I read the scripture just before I went to bed, just something to read before you go to sleep. And it was when Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he had come upon these people who were always seeking some new truth, and they had altars to every god possible, and they had an altar to an unknown god. And here in Acts chapter 17, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" When I was reading it that night, just before going to bed, I was so impressed in my spirit to pay particular attention to how God had Paul declare him to these who knew no God. And it was, he was declared as God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. Verse 26, he has made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he has determined their times before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation. So I have believed since that night, particularly, that God has determined when nations come forth upon this earth and the boundaries of their habitation. And I, of course, we all know about Israel. It's written in the Word. But I believe the United States of America came forth in the same way. And we're going to be talking about that this week. And we're going to, Peter's going to be with us tomorrow. Now, we are offering for you this week, and we only have 100 copies. They are, as far as we know, the last 100 copies, besides what some person might hold, of The Light and the Glory. Now, he is going to do a rewrite on this, which will be published next spring. But you could have one of these 100 copies by calling us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. And we have as a focus of our Autumn Assembly of Prayer, which is really next week, starting October 24th through 27th here in Branson, Missouri. Please come and pray with us if you can. That is, you can get information on that as well by calling 417-336-4877. This is Billy Brim and Peter Marshall saying, Shalom, Shalom.